Hello and welcome to Developing Perspective. Developing Perspective is a podcast discussing news of note in iOS development, Apple, and the like. I'm your host, David Smith. I'm an independent iOS and Mac developer based in Herndon, Virginia. This is show number 111, and today is Tuesday, March 5th, 2013. Developing Perspective is never longer than 15 minutes, so let's get started. All right, so today's episode is going to have two topics. I'm going to talk about the process of updating a very old app, and then I'll talk a little bit about burnout and related things. So to start off, I'm going to talk about an update that I'm working on now. It's the project that is my primary focus right now, in addition to some of the other things that I'm doing. And it's about updating my recipe book, which is one of my sort of more successful apps. It's been on sale for quite a while, and I'm trying to bring it up to what I'm going to call version 3. Now, My Recipe Book is an app that's been around for almost 3 years. I think it was launched summer of 2010. So I've been working on it in some capacity for at least probably about 3 years. And during that time, it's had 30 released versions last time I checked, which works out to be somewhere around a version a month or so in terms of since its actual release date till now, which is quite a lot. There's a lot of things that have changed, in terms of look and feel, in terms of functionality, in terms of how the app works over that period. And it creates some interesting questions when you're going to go and do a big update, when you're going to do some stuff that gets into some database, that gets into some usability, that gets into all these kinds of questions that you don't have when you're creating a new app. When you're just starting with something new, you just create it, and there's no existing user base. There's nobody's data you have to worry about. And for something like My Recipe Book, it's even more complicated because what you're dealing with is users' non-recreatable data. In that sense, so people are collecting and building these databases of recipes they like, and if something were to happen to them, if they install the update and their data goes away, we have a pretty substantial problem, and the app would certainly be not the users wouldn't be happy with that. And this actually happened once before. I accidentally shipped an update that if you had a database that was above a certain size, it would corrupt the database, which was unfortunate. And I immediately pulled the update pulled the app from the store so that the update wouldn't propagate, submit an expedited review with a fix, and the app was just not in the store for about 4 days, and it cost me a bit of money and a bit of goodwill, but in the end it worked out. But the point is, it's very complicated, I think, when you are doing these kind of upgrades versus a fresh update. And so I just kind of wanted to talk through some of my thoughts about that. The first and the most important part, I think, of whenever you're doing these kinds of things is to realize that at the end you just kind of have to be pragmatic about it. You're never going to be able to test every possible configuration, every possible path, all the different things that users can do. And so your goal is just trying to cover the vast majority of them and to do things in a way that will degrade gracefully as best you can. So, for example, it's not reasonable or sort of practical for me to test you say a user 3 years ago had bought the app at version 1, bought it, installed it, added a couple of recipes, never did anything to it. And then – or even worse if they'd kept using it. But if they'd never upgraded, and then they install version 3. So now there's 29 intermediary versions that they have not had. And it gets very complicated for me to be able to test what that would look like to their data. Typically, that should work fine. I have a lot of lightweight migrations that just run, and it works pretty well. But it's one of those things that I'm not too worried about that. Very few, as a percentage of my users, very few of them bought the first version just because over its lifespan, it's only been around for probably about a month or two. But the reality is I just can't worry too much about that. When I look at my version stats and details about that, it's not a large high percentage of users who are on old versions. Most people are running the latest version on the latest OS. And so I can, generally speaking, say focus on those and then try and be just sort of mindful of how that would affect older users. But the reality is there's only so much you can do. And this is just one of those sort of things that I've come to grips with, that I can never please everybody with every update, and so I just have to sort of understand that. And then in terms of what I do for that update, it's interesting because you just have to understand what makes sense for a big update. This is an app, it's been around, like I said, for about 3 years. There's not a lot of things that I need to do to it. The app has been largely unchanged for probably about a year now, if not more, and it still sells at almost the identical level as it did when it was first introduced. It's just it keeps going, and that's awesome. But the reality is you want to update it periodically, if for no other reason than just to kind of continue to engender that goodwill with your users. And you're trying to find what are the things that are frustrating about it. You know, the app is featured fairly, you know, from a feature perspective, is fairly complete. There's not much more in terms of what it needs to do. We're just trying to find different ways to make users' lives better. And so, like, this feature and this update is primarily focused on making the app universal, which is one of those, you know, a widely requested feature. You know, make it work from, right now it's an iPad only, to make it work on an iPhone as well. And it's something that users have wanted, and it's something that I'm, you know, working on and will be releasing. And at this point, it's that and a few other minor features are all that we hear these days. And so at some point, the app will likely fall into a more just sort of long-term maintenance mode, which is kind of a strange thought to me. You know, usually for a lot of my applications, I'm constantly working on them. I'm constantly improving and updating and kind of thinking, you know, I have this long list of features that would be nice, would be nice, would be nice, would be nice. At some point, you kind of run out of that. And this has already happened to me with audiobooks, one of my other apps, where I don't do major updates to it anymore because functionality-wise, it does pretty much everything I ever wanted to do. And I, you know, add content to it, and I tweak the UIs, and whenever new OSs come out or new devices, I make sure it looks good on those. But the reality is the benefit that that's created for me is I can focus on new things. You know, I have another project. At this point, I'm not quite ready to share it yet, but I have a new project that I'm working on that'll be my next big release, probably my big app for 2013. And it's the interesting part of that, you know, being comfortable with sort of that intentional neglect in a positive way is just something that I've had to come to grips with by being, you know, a one-man shop, that at a certain point an app gets pretty good, it gets good enough, and continuing working on it beyond a certain point, you start getting a lot of diminishing returns. And that's not to say you want to, you know, sort of ignore things, let them decay, but there's a point at which the steady state of a really quality, solid app that has very few bugs, that has been just absolutely polished and polished and polished, that you just sort of let that ride and make adjustments to it rather than major changes. I kind of think about this otherwise you would get in the situation that you saw with something like Microsoft Word, where over time it just kept growing and growing and growing to a point that it starts doing all these crazy things that aren't really enhancing its core functionality, that aren't making it better at, you know, doing, you know, text processing or you know, writing things. And you end up with these overly featured, complicated apps that people have trouble using. And so on the flip side, what I'm trying to do is make something that is good and useful and gets super polished and focused. And then once you run out of major features that make sense to do, it's like, okay, that's probably what it's going to be, at least for a very long time. And you just live with that and lets you, you know, free up your time to work on new and interesting projects. All right, and so the next thing I was going to talk about, this is a question that I got from Nathan Reyes on Twitter, and he was just asking me to talk a little bit about burnout and talking about how I deal with that, or I guess in terms of like, what do you do with that? I mean, it's a common problem. It's a common situation, I think, for just people in general, that you kind of get to a point where you're just overwhelmed, when you're beat down, and it's very hard to sort of face your next day in some ways. First, the first thing that comes to mind is probably a good disclaimer to have is that this is one of those things where the things that I can say about it will absolutely not apply to everyone, because by its nature, the reasons that we are sort of face burnout or the reasons that we face difficulty in our work are going to be so unique to us. You know, so this is one of those, if you have to work, you know, 15-hour, 16-hour days, month after month, because that's what you need in order to feed your family. Like, who am I to say that's not a good choice? But these are kind of the broad lessons that I've learned that I think apply more often, and especially if you can take a step back from your situation, can help you kind of decide and navigate where you should head next. So first, this is kind of an echo of what I said in my ergonomic episode a couple weeks ago, is it's important, I think, whenever you're approaching your work, that you consider from the outset that you have to be able to work in such a way that you can continue working indefinitely. And so in the ergonomics perspective, that was saying, you know, making sure your office physical environment is set up such that, you know, it's not putting any strain on you that over time will end up wearing you down. And on the flip, on the sort of the burnout side of that, I think it's from a work schedule, from a pressure, from a intensity perspective, that same principle applies. That if you aren't in a situation that you feel like you could keep doing forever, then there's probably something that you need to do about it. You need to make a change. You need to do something, because by that very definition of that situation, you can't continue to do that. At some point, you will hit a point that you are just done, and that's almost certainly going to happen at the least opportune time, and the consequences of that happening are unlikely to be good. So the first thing is, if you find yourself in a situation where you're just like, you know, I can't – there's no way I could keep doing this, you really need to understand look introspectively about that. You need to understand what's going on. You need to talk to your boss, talk to your clients. Just understand what is causing that. You know, try and just as much as you can think about it. This is a great thing to get other people's advice about where you're spending your time, talking to them about your workflow. It's just like, this is something that, you know, almost certainly if you can find peers, whether that's at your workplace, whether that's going to a meetup or a conference and talking to other people, someone's probably gone through it. And you can often get a lot of ideas or a sense of really what the root cause of it is from that, and be able to sort of respond accordingly. And secondly, the thing that I think about with that is, it's understanding that your work schedule probably has more flexibility in it than you think. And by that I mean, I know for myself that the times that I need to work crazy hours or be under super pressure, and there's a place for that. And it's probably a fair sort of disclaimer to say that you can, you know, usually you have to understand how long you can go, and you want to have a sort of a definite limit for yourself on that, for how long you want to go in that mode. You know, it's kind of like, I go into – there's periodically I've needed to go into like a superpower mode where I'm working long hours with great intensity. But for me, I can't do that for more than about 5 days before I'm done. And after 5 days, I just have to change. And if it's necessary beyond that, then we have a big problem. But generally, you just want to understand for yourself what a sustainable schedule looks like, and then do everything you can to approach that and to get it. And this is one of those things that's like, well, that's fine for Dave, I guess. Like, in terms of, well, that's not my situation. You know, my boss is, you know, puts a lot of pressure on me. My boss, says that I have to do this, and this is the best job I can find. And like, okay, and that's really unfortunate if that's really true. If you really are finding yourself in a place where the only option you have is to burn yourself out. But really, what you need to do is be making conscious steps, I think, at every point to say, okay, this is the situation I'm in right now. This is where I find myself. I wish it was different. I wish I didn't feel so stressed. I didn't feel so burned out. I wish I could, you know, was sleeping more, spending more time with my kids, whatever it is. And you have to think, okay, if that's true, if that's really how I feel, if that is important to me, what can I do to change that? What can I do about my schedule, about the clients I take, about the job I have that will allow me to put my time and energy into the places that I care more about? Because if you really love your work and you really enjoy it and this is where you want to put your energy, you're probably not going to get burned out doing it. But if you look at yourself and you're saying, man, this is rough, I'm getting crushed, you have to change that. And there's no easy answer. There's no shortcut or trick that can make that go away. You can be perhaps more productive with your time to try and squeeze the amount of work that is needed into a smaller amount of time. And that may help. But at the end of the day, whatever the situation is, you have to be able to say, you know what? I'm more important. My health and sanity is more important than the work I'm doing. I'm not going to look back on my deathbed and say, hey, you know, I wish I really had shipped that project a week earlier. You want to be able to look at yourself in the mirror and say, you know what? I'm taking care of the things that I care about. And that's often really difficult, but being an adult is often really hard. All right, that's it for today's show. As always, if you have questions, comments, or concerns, I'm on Twitter @_DavidSmith. I'm on AppNet @DavidSmith. There's a feed for both of those networks for the show at Dev Perspective, which is where just an update every time a new episode comes out, if that's your preferred way to get it. And also, I just wanted to mention, I'm starting something new on my blog, david-smith.org. where I'm starting to post much more regularly. And if you like what I have here, you may also like the articles I'm writing there. So check it out. That's david-smith.org. There'll be a link in the show notes. And that's it. Have a great week. Happy coding, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.